It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
It's a sad case when trying to find news about the war is becoming harder and harder because major news organizations are like, we're never getting out of here. We just, right. There's nothing new. But this is new. The president said late yesterday that he was pausing the military's new operation to clear a transit path through the Strait of Hormuz for commercial vessels, halting a mission that had only just begun, even as more than 1,500 commercial ships are still waiting to get through Iran's closure of the crucial waterway. Trump said the pause, quote, comes at the request of Pakistan and other countries and means that U.S. military operations, including using warships to clear a path through the strait, will be halted, quote, for a short period of time to see whether or not the peace agreement can be finalized and signed. I'll let you make the joke about how long it'll probably be, Jamie.
2 weeks.
Thank you. Trump wrote in a social media post all of that yesterday. That means that while the U.S. Navy will continue to stop ships that have entered Iranian ports, the air and sea-based operations to clear the strait for commercial vessels is now on hold. Both sides have exchanged fire in the past day over the strait. So, ceasefire? I don't think they know what that means. Trump's announcement followed two news conferences yesterday, one at the Pentagon and one at the White House, where the administration touted the effectiveness of the new military operation and strived to convince reporters that the new mission, dubbed Project Freedom, was working. I love that they had to strive to convince reporters. No, seriously, guys, it's working. We're doing great. Despite Iran firing missiles and drones at U.S. ships on the initial day of transit clearing and the U.S. destroying at least six Iranian fast boats in return. Earlier Tuesday, while we talked about it a little as it was happening, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said that the U.S. mission to protect commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz would be temporary. Little did he know how temporary it was going to be. And that other nations would soon have to take responsibility. He also emphasized that the fragile ceasefire with Iran remained in place despite ship attacks. I would love to send a thesaurus and a dictionary, mostly a dictionary, to the administration. If you are still firing and they are still firing, that's not a ceasefire.
No.
That is a continue fire.
Which means that the war is not actually ended, like the president would like to tell us. I mean, this entire event chain happened before Pete Hegseth could basically say the words, get off the stage, turn off the microphone, fold his pocket square, and move on right. with his day. I mean, it was all so quick in what happened. It's just more of the same, right? It really, truly mm-hmm. is, because there is no, we've said it, and I don't want to keep beating the same drum, but
we have to, right?
There's no plan. There's absolutely no plan here
no plan.
As to what is going to happen. There was no plan going in during the initial attack 2 months ago, and maybe even into the summer, if you want to look a little further than that. And there's obviously no plan to get out of this. There is no diplomacy happening. There is no negotiation happening. Diplomacy is not a mean tweet. It is not a tweet of what you think is strength. That is not what this is. And if you're not sending anybody there to actually sit down face-to-face with officials, there's no plan.
There's no plan. The plan, now it's desperation mode.
Right.
Because I'm going to try this. It didn't work. I'm going to try this. And even the most right-wing news media are starting to question. I don't know if you saw a Newsmax reporter yesterday asking Pete Hegseth why the president had capitulated. And man, oh man, Whiskey Pete got mad at that one. The president did not capitulate on anything. We are locked and loaded. He loves to use the catchphrase. Locked and loaded. He left out the three-point stance, though. I liked that one from the earlier press conference yesterday. But locked and loaded, and it's America first, and the president is great, and blah, blah, blah. And he tried to pull a Trump on the report. He goes, Jim, you started out great, because, of course, the reporter gave a little smoochy to the hiney as he started his question and then asked about the capitulation. Oh, and you ended up right where we knew you would end up. Yeah, everybody's going to end up there, Pete, because we see it and we need to know. And you guys are flailing away trying to figure out what to do because you went in half-cocked, not locked and loaded, and you've just been cosplaying and letting a guy who has no military expertise whatsoever run roughshod over military experts in order to facilitate some sort of fever dream about a nuclear weapon that did not exist. And while we're all looking at, well, is oil the real deal? Of course, the real cause of this whole thing is oil. You try to disguise it with this nuclear weapon ridiculousness, and then you create the problem and blame somebody else and now can't fix it. The problem being the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which was wide open.
And in the meantime, while all that's happening, everybody here in the United States, including in Wisconsin, and across the globe, are feeling the ramifications of all of those decisions mm-hmm. because prices just keep skyrocketing. Oil prices are going up, and there is absolutely no end in sight. And again, a reminder that even if this conflict were to end today, right? It's not, but if it were, hypothetically, those prices would not automatically just come down quickly. And we're going to talk about it a little later this morning, but, you know, you even look at things like travel plans for the summer. If you need to fly, good luck. Book now, because it's pretty ridiculous. And we'll get into a little bit more of that this morning as far as how that's going to impact people who might have travel plans. But it's an across the board thing, all the way from what you're putting into your car, your gas you're putting into your car, to your oil, to your groceries, to your energy bills, and to all of the goods that you want to buy. And I just look at the prices aren't coming down. Every time I go to the store, everything is more expensive than it was the last time I went to the store. That's
but
the ramification.
They claim it is, and now they're floating the we're going to stop oil exports. They're floating that idea, which according to all industry experts is a horrible idea, because while we do export a lot of oil, we also import a lot of oil. I wanted to say 16 million barrels or 60 million barrels a day, whatever it is. Everything is interconnected, everything.
Right.
But he doesn't see those connections. He is impulsive and just makes a decision based on his gut, which we have seen over and over again. His gut, I think he needs to take some probiotics, because his gut is not acting correctly.
What
other rest do we have to know, Jamie?
Well,
there's got to be something.
There is some more. And now the Democrats want some conversations and some words of wisdom, apparently, from Secretary of State Marco Rubio, because they have asked him to publicly announce that Israel possesses nuclear weapons, arguing that Washington must end decades of ambiguity over the issue in the middle of this conflict with Iran. In a letter that they sent on Monday, 30 Democrats wrote that it was unsustainable for Donald Trump to collaborate with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on a military campaign against Iran with the stated goal of preventing the country from obtaining a nuclear weapon without publicly acknowledging the U.S. allies' possession of a bomb. In this particular letter, it says, quote, "We are, in the fullest sense, fighting this war side by side with a country whose potential nuclear weapons program the United States government officially refuses to acknowledge." It goes on to say, "Congress has a constitutional responsibility to be fully informed about the nuclear balance in the Middle East, the risk of escalation by any party to this conflict, and the administration's planning and contingencies for such scenarios. We do not believe we have received that information." Now, in case you're wondering, Israel has never acknowledged its nuclear weapons programs, and no U.S. administration has publicly stated that it exists, despite considerable evidence that it actually does. The program traces its origins all the way back to the 1950s. It did have assistance from U.S. allies, including France and apartheid South Africa. U.S. presidents, though, have for decades avoided discussing the subject. Barack Obama responded to a reporter's question about it early in his presidency by saying he did not wish to speculate. Interesting.
Well, you're talking about Israel, the country that didn't
cajole
Donald Trump into starting a war of choice.
That's the one, yes.
All right. I'm just checking. Hey, look, something close to home.
Yes.
We talked about this yesterday under the guidelines of how test scores were not being changed by cell phone bans in schools. Well, yesterday, the Madison School District unveiled its proposal for a new cell phone policy at the school board meeting, and saying students could not use their phone, could only use their phone during passing time and at lunch periods. They recommended an all-day ban for grades K through 8. So a little leniency, like I said, when they're passing. But other than that, no. Some school board members expressed trepidation. I love when you express trepidation. About a full-day ban for kindergarten kids don't need a phone.
No, you taught second grade,
period,
right?
End of story. I taught everything from preschool to fifth.
Did they need phones in kindergarten and second grade?
They barely can wipe their nose in kindergarten, and I don't say that to be mean.
You're right,
yes, they can't tie their shoes.
No.
They don't need a phone. Trust me, if your child is in danger at school, we will protect them. We will wrangle them. They will not stay quiet during I don't know what we call them now. I still call them. When I started, it was active shooter drills. But
sure.
Now, you know, they'll be fine. So there was the district used to let principals just determine what
right.
they could do in their own schools. Now state law requires school boards to implement those district-wide policies, which is why you got the administration involved. The proposed policy would meet the law's requirements mandating that Wisconsin school districts limit students' cell phone usage during instructional time. Full ban for younger students would go further than the law's mandate. Again, I understand parents' worries. I don't think they're, and I know you're going to say, well, there was a shooting at a school in Madison. I understand that. And I don't take away from parents' worry. You know,
right.
if my daughter was still in school at this point, I would want her to have some sort of access to me. There has to be a way to figure it out, because as we talked about yesterday, studies have shown that while teachers love it because kids aren't distracted, it's not really having any effect on grades.
Right.
It's not having test scores. Everybody's still fine. So, okay.
I think it's also important to point out that this is going to be a statewide law, but almost 90% of districts in Wisconsin already have some kind of phone restriction right. at the schools.
And just because it's law, how are they going to?
Right.
It's going to be up to each school to enforce
yeah.
it. Each classroom teacher is going to have to enforce it.
Right.
They're going to have to be creative about how they enact this, whether it's you have to leave them in the locker or you have to drop them
off.
And
teachers are actually asking for that. They want more clarification on all of
yeah.
this and stricter policies. So, you know, I don't know. They happen to be the ones with the kids all day. Give them what they want.
What they want is to be paid fairly.
Right.